Something I'm sorry for. Harry, what did I call Kevin?
What'd you call him?
And membership meeting.
Yeah,
no, call him something.
Oh, phone free.
Phone free.
Who knows all that electronic shit.
Yeah. Do I need to apologize for offending, because now you're my boss?
Actually, the correct term is he's a technopath.
A what?
He's a technopath, a techno-pooter.
Thank God for us. Yeah, thank God.
When he comes in, the equipment realizes it and behaves.
Here's the minutes.
He has the ability to make equipment get killed.
Ecclesiastes, this is hopefully the last day on Ecclesiastes.
Heard that.
No, we haven't ever heard that before. We've heard it might be the next week or something. Ecclesiastes 12. No, it's going to be the second to last day. We elected everybody in the room to be on the board of directors.
Yeah, Joyce, did you hear you're a director?
Yeah.
That will teach you not to come to the meeting. Angela learned a tough lesson yesterday. Speak up, you get nominated. Speak up, I'm going to put you on the board.
In verse 13 of chapter 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Or, again, the better translation in Hebrew is, now that we've heard the conclusion of the whole matter. Conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Going back to the beginning. Let's go there. Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis 1.
Should they get to hear the conclusion of the matter? They haven't been here every
20 minutes. Yeah. That's a topic stir.
Well, he just said go back to Genesis.
Where are we going?
I was going to pay more.
That reminds me of a parable. Pay more.
I've still got hangnails.
Well,
I can't help it.
Don't do likewise.
I know Winslow told me something about what to do about hangnails.
Super glue.
So on the sixth day, in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion. We've studied, in fact, during the course of studying Ecclesiastes, that it doesn't mean that he made us to look like God. The word image is the Hebrew word tselem. And it's the same word that you would say the glove was an image of a hand. We were created to contain God. But the problem is, what next word, or and likeness. The word likeness means of the same nature, exactly the same. But the problem now is there's been 60 jillion years between image and likeness. But God in His mercy created man innocent. And he wasn't aware, the only thing he was aware of was God and others. God and where there was no awareness of self. And then he had to take the next risk. He had to let man be able to name things. And so the next, in chapter 2, verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, earthling creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls and to, of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was no helpmeet. Now once he gave him the capacity to name, i.e. language, once he named something, then it became separate from him. You understand that? Can you conceive of a possibility of being in a condition where you had no capacity to see yourself, to consider yourself? There was no capacity to think that the condition you were in should be different than it was at any moment in time. And that was the condition. That was how man was created, in that place. And then the first thing he did, in order that man could become in the likeness, he had to name things. And once he named things, then it gave him the capacity to fall. The capacity for the fall. Without, because that was the only time there could be an idea that something was good or evil, because, you understand what I'm saying? Man was born innocent, and by a series of antagonisms, he was to transform that innocence into holiness by antagonism, to see if there would be anything that would cause him to leave that moment, that childlike place. And then what happened? We don't know how many tests he completed, but we know one he failed. He failed the big one. Because he ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And once he did that, then all was over. So that fall, the fall of man, is the main thing that's lacking in modern religion. Because we believe, and not modern religion out there, I'm talking about modern religion in your own mind. You believe that you can learn and get better, you can help yourself, you can go through all these programs, you can get educated, you can do thing after thing after thing so that you can get better, so that you can be self-realized. And that is the fruit of the fall, self-realization. And so then everything that happened after that, all of the stories in the scriptures, all of the revelations of what happened to man and is trying to do, and we've gone through each of those stages before about how he was tested first with no law, then he was tested with a Noachian law, then he was tested by one family and everything, then he gave them prophets, and then he gave them finally a son, and we crucified him. So man is no more to be tested. Now, if that's true, then that's why the book of Ecclesiastes is so important. Because everything that we've studied over the last several months and all the detail of the book of Ecclesiastes, we've shown the emptiness and futility of all human effort. That's what vain means, vanity. So now, and we've seen it in all the feasts that we've done. We've celebrated all of the Jewish feasts. We've hopefully searched the whole scriptures. And we've seen the one commonality, the fallenness of mankind. And last week we saw the end of it. Is that you must see yourself only as dust and ashes. That there can't be any more, even the slightest propensity for self-betterment or self-realization. And that act of seeing yourself as this total, complete punk of ashes and dust, that's what repentance means. And so our only hope is in Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is all that's left. If there's anything in the universe that can cause you to put your eyes back on yourself, then you've resurrected the evil one. the one that fell at the cross, at the beginning. And so now we must, that's why the whole mystery of God is in repentance, in the emptying of self. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he were in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And that word means total empty. He emptied all of himself as Son of Man, so he lived every second of every day in total dependence on the Father, and that's what we call faith. And our lack of, our tendency to not live by that faith, that total dependence on the Father, is called this condition of no faith. And that's the total of the matter. And you can't do this until you've come to the end of yourself. In the beginning, that's why man had to live 800-900 years, because that was the length of time it took to come to the end of yourself. And then that's why, after the new man has been created and shed on your flesh, in your flesh, then that's why there has to be at least 10 to study Scripture. Because, and it's not just study Scripture, that didn't do any good, you're not learning anything. There has to be 10 so that you can see by others' experiences the vanity and emptiness of all human effort. You understand that why you're not, it's why now it's us, not I. It's our Father which art in heaven, not my Father which art in heaven. And so the whole process, the whole mystery of God is tied into this mystery of repentance. But not the repentance of, oh, I'm sorry I did that. The repentance of abandonment of self. You owe your mind and your emotions absolutely nothing. Now, do you have the courage to live by faith? Can you take that risk now that you know the emptiness? You've known by your silence what's all we've talked about for several months is the emptiness of all human effort. And we showed it by the wisest man that has ever lived, according to the preacher, Solomon. What have we seen? We've seen a lot. We've seen how quickly our mind tries to pull us off the mercy seat and onto the judgment seat. How quickly the I motive just becomes our life. And that's why we need to exhort one another daily while it is still called today, that each of us might truly live by faith. And really, that's the end of the matter. Know you not your own selves, although Jesus Christ is in you? Let's go look at that one more time. 2 Corinthians 13.
I was thinking how the religious part of man doesn't believe that the test is complete. Still thinks there's hurdles and things to pass, but in fact, it's just seeing what is completed.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about. I mean, the Christian world is all upset about the teaching of evolution in the schools, but all they teach is spiritual evolution, that you're getting better. You're going to get better someday if you do this and this and this. It's just crazy. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, and this weakness doesn't mean, oh, he wasn't able to lift something. I mean, weakness is meaningless unless it's tested by the strength that you possess. Weakness is proffered weakness. It's voluntary emptiness because you know the end of your own strength is meaningless. Do you understand that? Weakness spiritually doesn't mean, oh, I'm getting old and weak and now I'm blah, 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 but I wish I was younger. Weakness means purposed weakness. Christ, who could have healed every person on the face of the earth with one snap of his finger, who could have wiped out poverty forever, who could have created heaven on earth, didn't. And he didn't because he was after the mystery of God. He was about the will of the Father, not his own will. Now, how much of your day are you going to spend in your own will today? Well, every second, every split second, every nanosecond that you return to your own ideas, then you are, it's at the expense of his will. And you, as the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, well, the evil one will reign again. And you will try to do really good. You'll convince yourself you're getting better and you're doing good works. But then you live in isolation, so nobody really ever tests you. And you never hear the preaching of the cross. So you can convince yourself you're doing good, except when you're alone. And you're haunted by the emptiness of your own works and your own life, and every man is. But that you have to keep up the act. You have to keep pushing the energy into it. Otherwise, my God, I'll be exposed. Anybody hearing me? Anybody really believe you've got it together? I mean, come on. Anybody really believe you're improving? You can hear all these how-tos and cheerleader speeches every day, but at night when you're alone with yourself, you know. You know that you know. And so you have to learn how to act. You're learning how to act like you know, and act like you're at peace, and act like you're this, and act like you're that. And the evil one reigns. And truth has fallen in the streets, stomped on the blood. So though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God, but he liveth only by the power of God. He doesn't live by the power of Christ. You got to hear this. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now, this is the only time in the scripture that I know of where it talks about examine yourself. So listen carefully how many times it's repeated. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. There's a jillion religions that will confess that the Spirit of Christ is in you. And they're called pantheistic. And they see, oh, God is in them. Jesus was this great teacher and Christ was some kind of spirit. No, this is Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Do you know that the Word made flesh is in you and everything about you, your mind, is an enemy of that mystery? If you don't know that, then you're going to continue on this path. You got mountains to climb and hills to jump over and whatever the cliche of the day is. How to do this, how I can become, how you can get. And that world of how to is called Babylon. Know you not your own selves. Prove somehow to your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you. Except you be reprobate. Well, how can I prove that? How do I know that? That's just a concept. Well, it's just a concept unless you abandon everything and see whether or not he's there. You better find out now. Now, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, then you cannot repent. You can repent of the world after the world and say, oh, I'm sorry I did that, I'll do better next time. You can repent to yourself and you con yourself 10,000 times a day. But if you don't know that the power of God is truly your life without your assistance, in fact, if you try, his humility takes the lowest seat. He cannot fight your efforts. So the idea, the definition of a reprobate, it's a legal term in the Jewish law. It means one incapable of repentance. And you cannot repent because you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. So you keep trying to get it right, trying to do better next time. And it's just a friggin' joke. And God is mocking you at every second. He mocks you in your aloneness when your mind starts talking to you. And the accuser runs rampant over you. And then you have to go to extraordinary efforts to act like you have faith. Talking to anybody? This is the end of the whole matter, according to Solomon. Jesus Christ is the end of the whole matter. He didn't come here to help you. He didn't come here to lift you around and so you would be footsteps in the sand or whatever that crap is. He came here to exchange your life for his. You cannot have faith without your death. Impossible. You cannot be in his name and your name. This is why the preaching of the cross is the most powerful thing in the universe. In fact, Paul says it's the power of God. But preaching of the cross doesn't mean preaching about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It shows that you, unless you see that you were the one that's on the cross with him, if when he died, the human race died. So this is the end of the matter. Anybody have any response? Mr. Bojo?
We're watching Joel Osteen last night. Joel says we need to develop habits of success. And we have a negative habits as our problems.
Joel's a kindergarten teacher.
But this Ecclesiastes stuff doesn't seem to jive with that.
Well, neither does any other part of the scripture. But it really sounds good.
Well, it's Job all over again. I mean,
it's Joel's buddies, Eliphaz.
That's everybody except the preacher.
Thinking the word power makes, normally you think of lightning bolt shooting out of your fingers or something, but God's power is just the absolute opposite of waiting and humility.
God's power is not realized if you're trying.
Yeah.
Or if you got an image of what it's going to look like. You have no, he's not, because the word, see these idiots, the word power that's used right here is dunamis. And in Greek it means tested, tried, sureness, ability. The word dynamo is where we get the word dynamite. It means this power you can see and look and witness, and everybody raise your hands because we feel the power of God. Well, that's just soul power. It doesn't mean nothing. It's less than meaningful. Oh, but I feel so good when I...
That's the one that comes after the working of what is it, the miracles? That's clear what that is.
The power of God's the preaching of the cross, which not I don't think of.
It's like Bama and Bima. It's just false.
So the end of the matter is that you would empty yourself or humble yourself. Empty. We don't want to go through the word humble again, but we think of timidity or something. But it's humble is meaning just total emptiness of self. At every second, nothing grabs your attention. Nothing pulls you away from the mercy seat. Proffered weakness. Not, I'm weak because I'm old. Oh, I wish I were young again. If I were young again, he'd do the same damn thing he did the last time. Probably worse.
That's interesting you say that, because I feel smarter and wiser just through my life experience. Yet, my behavior seems to repeat itself.
It's deteriorating.
It's getting worse.
Just since we've known you.
Just since we've known you, you've become far worse.
But that's kind of the irony of everything.
Is that? Well, yeah, that's why you have to. That's why religion and acting are the same.
And I may not be getting any better, but I'm not getting any worse. But
no, you are getting worse.
Job is part of that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's that vanity might become exceeding vanity.
Yeah.
It becomes easier and easier to see your vanity.
I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And I abhor myself first, then I repent in sackcloth. And you abhor yourself. Oh, no, you can't abhor yourself. That doesn't match with modernity. You got to have good self-esteem. I don't know what that came from. It just happened. Just shut up, Sue. You sit there like a gnome, quiet, and then I say one thing.
Thoroughly modern.
Who's pregnant?
Damn people.
Write that down. Thoroughly modern.
Holy.
No, I'm not.
Save that.
Modernity is a word.
It is.
It's a skit.
Modern. It's a fun word. I smell a skit.
It's a very modern word.
Shut up, Sue. I'm going to smack you.
Well, who else is
No, he's right. It's an excellent word. There's nothing wrong with that word.
I don't know where it came from. But
it's just you. That's
it's probably the first time I've ever...
It's a good word.
It's a good word. It's just you. Very Spanish.
It's not that good of a word.
So we're going to sit here and debate whether the modernity is a good word or not?
We digress.
Anyway, because of all that, because of all of that that we've just talked about, now you've been perfected by one offering. There's no more warfare. There's nothing left for you to do except be. And you never have to make any more offerings to people. You don't have to make any more offerings to anybody. You no longer need the praise of men or women or children. Because now he is your life. For you to live as Christ, to die as gain. Anything that could conceivably be the slightest gain to you or me is a loss to Christ. Can you see why it's all faith or no faith? It's not faith to get. Or faith to go when you die. It's all faith or no faith. Anybody else?
No faith is when you're trying to have faith.
Yeah, I'm going to go learn how to have faith.
Yeah, so you think you're doing good by trying to have faith when it only leads to no faith. It's all about you.
Did we get completely through the book of Ecclesiastes?
No, we got to do, we got one more day.
At the end there you said it's not faith for day to go when you die, and it just made me think, yeah, the phrase is when you die, not if you die. No.
The real is you're already dead. And there's been this being masquerading as you. The human race died on the cross. Read 2 Corinthians 5.
and there's still an experience to come, which I envision as potentially the most terrifying experience of all. And the question is, what's going to happen? Where am I going to, how am I going to react to that experience?
As I said before, if you're not in the mercy seat, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be.
Oh, I'm not worried about after. I'm worried about that stark realization, that instant of, holy shit, this is it.
I think you've had that stark realization a few times.
Many times.
Then you know what happened. You know it's about him, not about you. Take a big guy.
I guess what I'm saying is no other moment matters.
Did we have a princess sighting?
Yep.